episode 131 of...
Brutal Battle.
Yes, it's Dan Kim back after having his third child.
It's been a while. I was looking back at I think my last episode was 108, so it's been a while.
108? Really? Yeah. Oh my gosh, because this is 131, but we've had non-numbered episodes in between there as well.
Right.
Actually, a lot of non-numbered episodes, because we had, like, the style ones, we had, like, the saver ones, we had the independent brewing, the brewery showcases, lots of stuff. And if you haven't heard those people, go back and listen to them, because they're well worth it. Right, Dan?
Yeah, I don't know why somebody would not go chronologically, but yes.
Well, some people don't know that they can get all the back episodes. If you go to archive.org, that is where all of the podcasts are housed. So you can just do a search on that website for Brutal Battle, and you can get any episode off that.
Are they not all on iTunes also?
No, they're not all, because it limits it to like 50 at a time. Which is fine with me, because the last 50 that I did are probably the last 50 I want people to listen to, because I'm... You know, it's continually improving.
Right. It's like a TV show. You know, like every show that you love, the first two seasons aren't nearly as good as you remember them as.
Right. And so if people want to go back and listen to, like, the first few episodes, which are, in comparison right now, are probably just, like, the worst things you've ever heard. I mean, you can do that, though.
But you're still figuring out, you're still figuring your spots, you know?
Yeah. I did not know, like, anything at that point. All I knew was I liked beer. And that's about it. But anyway, let's go ahead and start this thing out right. We're doing the hop knowledge. See, I've edited myself with this thing because usually I do some sort of movement. And people think it's funny because I do like a little bit of a jig with it. And I'm stopping that because people look at me weird. But anyway, today's hop is Super Galena hop. Super Galena was developed in 1998. By Roger Jeske in Yakima, Washington. Galena was crossed with an open-pollinated Nugget Hops variety to produce 98001. That was the name of it. Yes. And that created Super Galena. Yes. The year 2000 marked the birth/discovery of this variety, and trials were ran over the next 5 years. Super Galena's release in 2006 gave the world of brewing a stronger, higher-yielding, and mildew-resistant form of Galena hop. So basically, they were taking it and saying, okay, the Galena hop could be more resistant and more virulent. So, well, virulent's probably not a good word, because that's usually associated with diseases, but...
So it was mostly planted for its resistance qualities.
Yeah, basically. And higher yield. But it says Super Galena is very comparable to Galena hops in character. You would assume that. It's a bittering hop known for the clean and crisp bitterness. Has higher levels of micrine oil than most varieties. The end result of this is a mild and pleasant hoppy aroma. It's a super producer. It yields 2,500 to 2,800 pounds per acre. That's near the top of all varieties, apparently. It's one of the highest yielding hop, period. The medium ovoid cones are compact and can be harvested mid to late season. This moderately vigorous is also partly dubbed as super due to its resistance to disease and fungus, which includes powdery mildew, downy mildew, and verticillium wilt. Yeah, verticillium. So, two examples of...
I love that none of these notes are flavor notes.
Yeah, right. So, two examples of... well, I said it gives it like a crisp aspect.
Right.
Two examples of beers with the Super Galena. One is by Deschutes Brewery. It's their Hop Trip, which I have had before and is a nice beer. And another one I've had by Oscar Blues, Dale's Pale Ale.
Oh.
So, most people are probably familiar with... At least the Dale's Pale Ale, because that's pretty widely distributed.
So many people, Dale's Pale is like their standard go-to beer.
That's their It's like their friggin' jam. It's a good beer, but in my opinion, it's a good like starter beer. You know, like for people who aren't into like real hoppy stuff yet, but it's got like a decent hop note right. to it.
It's got a stronger malt base than most things there, but...
But that's a pale ale.
It's a pale ale.
That's what pale ales do
right,
a lot
and
of
time. It's a pale ale that's been around for a while, too, since, and, you know...
Yeah. Well, like Sierra Nevada's pale ale. You know, that's a significantly maltier pale ale, although... Back when it came out, it was, like, way hoppy.
Right.
It's just...
The recipe hasn't changed. People's tastes have changed.
Yes, it's like, as the times change, people view things differently. So, and there are a lot of beer examples for that, so... But I had a topic today that I wanted to bring up, and this one actually was brought up because I got a text... Well, I had seen something about this before. There's a company called Barrel Backers, and you can check out the website. It's just barrelbackers.com. And I had seen an advertisement on Facebook for them, like, months and months and months ago. It was, like, August, maybe, something like that. And then I got a text that I kind of, like, looked at it, and I'm like, And I didn't, like, pay it a whole lot of mind, honestly. And then I got a text from... Oh, I'm sorry?
Who sent you the text?
Yeah, I got a text from Mark, who's been on the show before. And he was like, what do you think of this Barrel Backers thing? And I was like, oh, so he's seen it. That's interesting. So I was like, my response was kind of like, yeah, you know, I don't really know. I don't really have much of an opinion on it at the moment because I feel like it's too much in its infancy. Because just looking at the website, I was kind of like, okay, I get the gist. And,
well, you should explain what it is first.
Right, exactly. But I was like, I get the gist, but the selection of the beers you can get wasn't, like, phenomenal. But anyway, so... Basically, Barrel Backers, what they do is they set up a site where you can go, and there are certain breweries there and certain beers by those breweries that they have on the site, and you can say, hey, if you got this beer, I would purchase X number of those beers, like a six-pack or a case or, like, whatever. So you basically put in a pre-order, and then once they reach a certain threshold that they need, that they basically set, kind of like Kickstarter, they... have that order placed to that brewery, and then they get it, and then they send it out to everyone for whatever their pre-orders were.
Right, and it's, you know, obviously attractive to the breweries because they have the money already before they even start brewing, so they know exactly where their sales are going. They don't have
That's
to,
true, yeah.
They don't have to market it other than just whatever they put on the site, and they can be more experimental, more small batch, you know.
Yeah. But I actually, you know, I'll say that I wanted to know, like, a little bit more about this, so I actually sent an email into the Barrel Backers folks.
Oh, nice.
And a guy named Dan was very nice. He spoke with me on the phone and just answered whatever questions I had about Barrel Backers. So thank you very much, Dan, from Barrel Backers. That was really nice of you. I'm not, like, officially endorsing them or anything, and they're not giving me anything or, you know, money or beer or anything like that, although I wouldn't turn beer down, but I'm still going to speak my mind about it. I think this has a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. And I say that because it just depends on what beers are there on the site and how, like, what variety it is. You know, like, if it's a ton of beers, but it's, like, breweries that people don't really care about that much, then it's not going to do well. Or if it's good beers, but it's barely anything, it's also not going to do well. They need to have, like, the right volume of good beers that people are going to be interested in.
Right. You know. I mean, you can put in for individual beers, and I think, do you just get one? Is it, like, do you buy one bottle at a time?
No, you can put in for more.
But I don't know, but as little as one bottle?
I don't think you can do just one bottle. You can do, like, a mixed six-pack.
Okay.
They have an option for, like, a mixed six-pack on there,
right,
which is
right.
good. I like that
right,
idea.
Right, right. So they have it when on the site. They have it broken. They actually have a price of, like, you know, this is, like, $3.50 a bottle or something mm-hmm. like that. And they'll also let you do kind of variety packs, which is, I think that's the coolest way to go.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that.
You know, because so many of the beers, you know, if it's an experiment for the brewery, but it's an experiment for the consumer also. And,
no, it is. That's true.
You know, and $3.50 per bottle, that's not expensive, but that's not cheap either.
But then you're also not considering the tax and the shipping at that point.
Oh, does that include that?
No, I don't know. I don't think it does. So I'm saying it's $3.50 just for the bottle in that instance, but then you're going to have to pay the shipping and the tax. But that's the thing in general, is like with online liquor stores too, it's kind of expensive once you put the tax and the shipping on top of that. Because a lot of the times when you're getting like an okay amount of beer, your shipping's going to be like $30.
What did you think about the brewery selections?
Okay, so that's the big thing that made me respond to Mark's text like, I don't know, I don't really have an opinion on it yet. Because I looked at it, and at that point, like I said, it was like August or something, the selection wasn't huge. And it was a lot of breweries I'd never heard of, which doesn't necessarily totally deter me, because I always want to try new stuff. But they had like Cisco Brewing on there, which I'm not a big fan of Cisco beers. I've had a few and I didn't really care for much. Evil Genius. I'm not a huge fan of Evil Genius, although
they're okay.
Yeah, they've had something here and there that I'm like, oh, okay, that was done by them. That was pretty good. Like recently we had the I Love Lamp on the show and it did pretty well. Like that's pretty solid beer. But the other thing for me is I can get an Evil Genius anytime I want because of where I am.
Yeah, because they distribute to Maryland.
Right. So it just wasn't a huge variety, but I was like, you know, maybe I'll check back in a while and see what happens. But when I talked to Dan, he kind of broke it down and he said, look, we've only been operating since July this year. So July 2015 is when they started. So I was like, oh, so you guys were like brand like friggin' new at that point. So when I was looking, you got that many breweries in basically a month's time, which is pretty good. And then that made me feel like, okay, this could really turn into something if they keep working hard and getting breweries to sign on.
And you got this ad on Facebook because Facebook knows you're a beer guy?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's funny.
So, but I will say, as of this recording, I mean, this is, we're recording well ahead of time so of when this comes out, so it's probably changed by the time this goes out, but there are a few breweries that have popped up on the site that I've been pretty interested in, which I think is cool. But it is also important to say that if they have a brewery on there, it doesn't mean they're going to get all the beers from that brewery. They're not all available.
Yeah, no, presumably kind of more experimental beers that aren't on the open market.
Well, no, in some cases maybe, but the way Dan kind of put it to me is they approach the breweries, they kind of give them their spiel, and then it's kind of up to the brewery what they're going to do. Okay. So some of these breweries will be like, yeah, you can just get our staple beers, you know, or someone will be like, okay, you know, we'll do some fun one-off things here. It's really brewery by brewery.
Okay.
So truly, you'd have to just kind of check into each brewery and see what they're doing on the site.
Okay.
But, yeah. So, but Westbrook Brewing, they got Westbrook, which Westbrook makes some very good stuff, including they have on there right now, at the time of this recording, their Goza, which is very highly touted, and it's a good Goza. So that's a good one. Founders.
Yeah.
Everyone likes
that. That was
Founders.
The one that I was really surprised at.
Founders is great. They're a juggernaut. Almanac Beer Company. I think Almanac's doing really good sour beers right now. Mm-hmm. That's a great one to have on, in my opinion. Gigantic Brewing out of Portland.
You hear good things about Gigantic.
Gigantic. I've had a few Gigantic, I think like two Gigantic beers, and I enjoyed both of them. So that's a good one as well. Just looking through. Oh, and at this point, Caldera Brewing is pending.
Oregon, yeah.
Also Brewbus. They had Brewbus on there. Brewbus works in conjunction with Cigar City down in Tampa, and they have good stuff. And Free Will, actually, a lot of people don't know about Free Will Brewing. They're out of Perkasie, Pennsylvania. They're a pretty good smaller brewery, in my opinion. So they're really, in my opinion, they're actually growing this kind of fast, which is great.
Right. I mean, obviously, look at the selection and look at the price, but this could be a potential really cool middleman to connect consumers and beer, you know, for cool stuff they haven't seen before. And it, you know, like I said, it's kind of some risk avoidance for the beer breweries so that they know they have pre-sales. So maybe it's a win-win.
It looks like they also have a beer club feature on here. So it's kind of like a beer of the month club or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. But they also said that they want to have people approach them with ideas. Like, what do you want? You know, like, what do the buyers want? What breweries should they be trying to approach? And Dan did say that a lot of times they get the typical, oh, can you get Pliny? Can you get Heady Topper? Which they're like, I mean, that'd be awesome if we could. And they said, maybe one day. I mean, maybe at some point. But
right.
That would be way down the line, I'm sure. But
I think what from a consumer standpoint, you would want either more experimental beers mm-hmm. by breweries you trust, or just breweries that are highly regional that, you know, if you're from somewhere that you can't get it, you could use them as a medium to get it. Yeah. So like some, like New Glarus is only in Wisconsin, or the Alchemist is only in Vermont yeah. or, you know, so if you're in, you know, New Mexico or something like that, and the Alchemist was willing to go through beer backers or barrel backers,
yeah,
right, that'd be a great way, and you wouldn't have to find a mule.
Yeah, right. I asked them about how they kind of do things as far as, like, how do you get the beer? And they get it sent to them somehow. He didn't really want to divulge it. I guess it's, like, a trade secret or whatever. but he seemed very much like he didn't want to, like, really go too much into that. But it started me thinking, though, that basically it could create a situation where you can get fresher beer. You know what I mean? Because if you're placing a pre-order, then once they reach that number, they put in the order, they get it, then they send it to you. That's potentially a lot better than walking into a liquor store and who knows how long the beer's been sitting on the shelf.
Right. It could have gone, yeah, it could have, because then it has to go to, from the brewery to a distributor to, you know, branch out to a, you know, a sub-distributor to mm-hmm. the store.
Yep.
That could be a month or more.
Yeah. And honestly, some distributors really suck. Like, they're not good at checking date codes. And I had some issues. I talked about it on the show before, but I had an issue with beers from Maine Beer Company. They make good beers. But when they first came to Maryland, we were getting beers that were out of date. And I had talked to Mike at Wine World, and he said the problem was they were getting them from the distributor, like, almost about to go out of date code.
Right.
Which is ridiculous. And they have the date codes on the bottles. So I was getting, like, skunked beers, and I was just like, this is not good. I contacted them directly, and they rectified the situation. You can get fresher beer now. But it was a distributor.
I mean, I'm sure it's hard on the distributor. They obviously want to be getting rid of their oldest stuff first, you know, because...
But especially with a brewery new to an area, you can't put bad product out, because then they're not going to sell. People are going to take that first taste of something that's not what it's supposed to be, and they'll be like, oh, terrible brewery, and they'll never buy it
right.
again.
Right, they'll always blame the brewery rather than the distributor, because yeah. nobody knows anything about the distributors.
Those first beers into the market are crucial.
Crucial, right.
For reputation.
Right. So. I mean, I've even heard stuff about certain stores having problems with Lagunitas in the past.
Oh, really? I yeah. haven't heard that.
Yeah, you know, but it's the distributor's fault. They're right. The distributor, yeah. you know, it's not, I love Lagunitas.
Right, yeah. So, yeah, that's another thing that just really sucks about being a brewery, that is that you're kind of at the mercy of your distributors.
Well, that's U.S. law.
I know.
That's the laws that marry distributors, that really require distributors in this process, and that really handcuff breweries to distributors.
And it basically says you have to have middlemen. Right. You must have middlemen.
You must have middlemen.
Which is ridiculous. I want to see us get to a point where breweries can just sell straight up online.
Oh, that'd
be
cool.
They could just, like, sell online or just, you know? And it's ridiculous because wineries can just sell straight and ship. But a lot of like FedEx and UPS and obviously the Postal Service will not allow breweries to ship to individuals, but they'll do it for wineries.
Hmm.
It's ridiculous. It's the dumbest thing.
Especially if you're a very small fledgling brewery, yeah. having, you know, so much of your cost is overhead in the first place, and, you know, so your profits are already squeezed, and then you're having to deal with, you know, a distributor who. You know, and so many of the distributors are just being outright pushed around by AB these days.
Yeah. Well, then maybe an idea is to just kind of, like, have some legislation where it says if you're producing X amount of barrels per year or below, then you can sell direct. If you're bigger than that, then you have to go through a distributor.
Right.
You know, just to give, like, the little guy more of a shot.
Right. Well, getting back to topic, though. If Barrel Backers is finding a way to get around this distributor problem, then kudos on them.
Yeah, no, that's true. I like the prospect of it potentially being even fresher beer. Mm-hmm. I like that idea. But once again, it's like I said in the beginning, I think it's too early. We'll see. I'm very encouraged by some of the breweries they've had coming on. Mm-hmm. But down the line, it's really going to depend on what breweries are they going to have. Will it, you know, perk people's interest? And what beers are they going to have from those breweries?
Right. It could be a thing where you check in every 2 months and the entire selection is totally has totally been overturned. I mean, or maybe in thought. Because if it's stagnant, then that's customers are going to lose interest. It has to have a degree of turnover to keep interest in it.
That's true. But the good thing is the beers won't sit there.
Right.
Like at their warehouse or whatever.
Right.
Because they're doing the pre-order thing. So that, in my opinion, is one of the smartest aspects of it. So, but I hope it does well. Barrel Backers, good luck to you. If you feel like just sending us beer for free, I mean, that's cool. We wouldn't, I wouldn't turn that down. You don't have to. It's fine. Anyway, good discussion.
Yeah.
It's an interesting topic. Everyone make up your own decision on what you think about Barrel Backers. We're not going to tell you what to think. We're just spitballing here between each other. So, but you know what I want to get into? Mystery beers.
Oh, is that what we're here for?
Oh, did you think I was going to do hop knowledge at the end of the episode, too?
I thought we were just here to talk about issues, Carlin. You know, talk about the...
In that case, how much time do you have? Because I have a lot of them. Like, I don't have any beer in my mouth. That's an issue. Well, A and B look very, very different. A looks very yellow, hazy.
Yep.
Straw.
Yeah, a tiny bit of... Yeah, mostly yellow, a ton of tiny orange hue, but yeah, dark yellow.
And then B is actually like a rose color.
Mm-hmm. It maybe even like a red grapefruit color.
Yeah, okay. Yep. I'd say that. And that's pretty cloudy. I can't see through that.
Yeah, both of these are pretty hazy.
I would assume just looking at it that B might be some sort of sour because of the color. Because I wouldn't know any other beers that would have that going on.
Maybe like a Saison?
Oh, it could be like a fruit-infused Saison, mm-hmm. like something with like passion fruit or grapefruit, like you were saying, like pink grapefruit. Raspberries, that could impart that color. All right, well, let's go with the lighter-looking one. A, see how this is smelling.
Oh, it smells great.
Oh, my God. It smells really hoppy. I get that what people say is dank mm-hmm. nose of like super, super hoppy dankiness. Oh my gosh. Yeah. What are you getting?
I'm getting a little bit of tropical fruit.
Yep. Get a little cat pee, but that just happens. That's part of being super hoppy sometimes. I get some lemon peel aspect in there. Get some pineapple.
I'm actually very surprised how hoppy this is smelling just based on this color.
It's a little floral, a little grassy on the nose as well. I mean, this is... Oh, that smells so vibrant. It smells so vibrant. I get a little bit of that kind of like candy Smarties, mm-hmm. not the Canadian Smarties because those are actually like M&Ms, but the U.S. Smarties type. It smells really good.
You make this qualification about I have Smarties to, every
because
time.
I know there are Smarties in Canada and they're just chocolate.
What percentage totally of your different. Audience do you think is Canadian?
I know there's at least one person, Dave Ellis.
All Dave right. Ellis. Shout out to Dave Ellis.
Shout
I
out
guess.
To Dave Ellis.
Hi, sure. Dave.
So, what do you taste him?
Well,
it tastes dank.
Yeah, it tastes like an IPA to me.
Yeah. There's a significant bitterness to it. I'm tasting a lot of that grassy aspect, the floral notes to it.
Yeah, I would say that grassiness is a thing that I notice most. And it hits you in the back of the tongue. This is.
It's good. I mean, I'm getting like grapefruit peel to it. I'm getting a little bit of that pineapple aspect as well.
Right. I'm getting some pine also. And I would say that it's not that fruitiness that I was smelling is mostly in the nose. I don't taste that nearly as much. It's mostly those kind of like that pine and the grass and the straw thing that we were tasting.
It tastes very effervescent. Don't mm-hmm. you think so? Like, it's kind of tingling on my tongue, like it's kind of champagne-ish.
Right.
Which is really odd. I haven't really experienced that before with an IPA style. I'm assuming it's an IPA. This is good, though.
Right. And even though that most of the notes we were talking about are bitter, it's also very smooth. The alcohol has been very good balance, and it's enjoyable.
I don't know. I feel like I can really perceive that alcohol, actually. I actually think that it peaks out maybe a little more than I want it to. And I think part of that's because I think it's kind of increased a little bit by that bitter presence. Because there's a lot of bitterness to this. And it is kind of like when you would just bite into the white portion of a rind. Of any sort of citrus fruit, honestly, because you know how bitter that is.
It's funny
how maybe you don't. But.
Well, I mean, I know what the rind is. But it's funny that to me the bitterness is actually hiding the alcohol, and for you it's amplifying it.
Yeah, it's not like I wouldn't go so far as to say amplifying. I'd say just boosting a little bit, just a little bit. It's not anything crazy. It's a little nitpicky, but I like that beer.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, I'm going to finish it.
Yeah, I don't know if I could do... I don't know on the 10th and 11th ounce how much I would like it. But right now, the bitterness is pleasant. And
it's a good beer.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be one of those things where the bitterness would just kind of layer on your tongue. And by the time you got to the 10th ounce, you were sick of it. But right now, it's good.
Yeah. All right. Well, I am very interested in B because why is it pink? Why is it like a ruby red pink? Yeah, it looks like red grapefruit juice. Or pink grapefruit. Oh my gosh, it smells like grapefruit. It smells like pink grapefruit.
Oh my goodness.
That's exactly what it smells like, isn't it?
Yeah, and well, it's also a little funky. It's got some funk to it.
Oh my gosh. That just smells, to me, that just smells like 100% grapefruit pulp. Just if somebody cut one open and just shoved it in your nose.
You're not getting any some like dank or funkness on the behind the grapefruit. I mean, obviously,
I feel like the grapefruit's all I can get and fresh, because it's so like acidic in the nose too, and tart, which smells awesome. Yeah, wait, I'm actually starting to pick up some hops though.
It's funny. I'm perceiving the hops a lot more than you are, and to me, it's got a little bit of cat pee in there too.
I actually agree with that. The more I keep sniffing it, and I'm trying not to focus on that forefront smell, which is the grapefruit.
Right.
I am starting to be able to pick out more of the hop characteristic, which it creates a really interesting dynamic in the nose, because with how strong that grapefruit, that fresh grapefruit is. You would not think that any hops would really come up behind that.
Right. Because you're sure it's a, and you don't, I don't know how often you'd come across this, but this has a very layered smell. Like, because you're right. It's like, you do like a shallow breath and you get all grapefruit, but then as soon as you keep on smelling past there, and the deeper it goes, the more that hop character comes out in the nose. I know you just tasted it. What do you think?
That doesn't taste like beer to me. It doesn't taste like a beer. It tastes like a shandy. It tastes like some sort of grapefruit shandy heavy on the grapefruit juice. Is it good, though? It's good. I think it's good. It's got a little bit of raspberry in there, in my opinion.
And you know what? When you first taste it...
A little strawberry, too.
Yeah, when you first taste it, you get kind of a little tinge of bitterness... and kind of a funkiness, and then if you just kind of let it sit on your tongue, like the sweetness and the tartness kind of come out. It's actually a very there is like a taste journey, you have to take little small sips and pause between in order to get the whole experience.
The way it finishes, what flavors are left on my tongue are the grapefruit fruit and the rind, like the bitterness of the rind as well. Like you just took a bite out of it and you bit off a little bit of the rind with the fruit of it. That's what I'm left with. But like you said, it's a bit of a journey when you're drinking it. It's good, but I'm confused because it doesn't really taste like a beer to me. It just tastes like grapefruit juice.
I wonder if there's some
with a little extra.
I mean, we both used the word tart. Would you use the word sour? I mean, they're very...
No. I don't think it's sour. There is a little bit of a tartness to it, but I think it's from, like, a natural juice.
Right, like, maybe that you were talking about strawberry or raspberry. I would lean closer to raspberry.
Yeah, raspberry. I feel like there's a fleeting moment of a strawberry flavor, but maybe I'm just getting confused. I don't know. Yeah, but there's plenty of pink grapefruit.
I wonder if there's a little, maybe even something like cherry. I don't know.
Yeah. It's I hard can see it's, that poking through.
I'm having trouble pinpointing exactly what fruit flavor I'm looking at.
I am picking up that hoppy characteristic, though. A little bit of a maybe like a pineapple hop presence in there, but distinctly hops. Not like fresh pineapple or anything like that.
This is such an interesting drink because
yeah, it's really weird.
The
what's good.
The first second is just such a different experience than the fifth second, and it just so changes. This is good, but it's also really interesting.
I always went back to A, and B. B's so weird and confusing and all sorts of stuff. And then going back to A, I'm just like, yeah, that's an IPA. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
oh, yeah.
You know what this is. This is very simple.
We both knew
this
it was an IPA on the first sip in the first place. And now it actually,
the bitterness has come down.
The bitterness is, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
And also, it's just, it feels less alcoholic.
It does, yeah. And I'm getting a little bit more of like a lemony note on the finish of A now, too. So,
yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, I can taste that.
It's good. I mean, they're both good beers, and I can continue to drink them.
Yeah, and they actually go together. They don't. They're not clashing, which is nice.
I don't. You know, B is something. A I could do a lot more often than B. You know what I mean? Because B is such a specific thing.
I think I would disagree. I would say that if I was only drinking A. I think I would get tired of its bitterness because although it is a good flavor, I think it would kind of build and I would just kind of get sick of it after. I definitely couldn't drink more than two, but two would be the absolute maximum and I probably wouldn't even want to. I'd be perfectly fine with one.
Yeah. I am going to have a hard time on this. There's one thing that's really making me not like B as much. I don't really like the aftertaste as much because there as I keep sipping it, there's more and more and more bitterness and it definitely just tastes like a rind, like a straight up fresh grapefruit rind with the bitterness. And it's actually not pleasant to bite that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not.
I mean, I can see where you can get that. I'm just having a different experience. I think
this
might,
fine. That's why
this might be an occasion where we actually disagree in our preferences, which is
possible.
Which I hope we don't
still,
end with the
it's
tie.
Still good and interesting, though. Also, it's making my taste buds hurt a little bit.
What?
Yeah, I don't know why. I just think because of the actual, like, citric acid aspect to it. And maybe I have a cut on my tongue, too. I don't know. Because that could definitely contribute. But
I don't know. To me, they're both, you start off with that grapefruit funk in the on the front of it, and you end with just kind of that sweet tart in on the back of it. I can keep on going back to that one and enjoying it and just kind of keep on getting new experiences out of it. I'm actually pretty impressed with B.
Okay, nice. I am very confused as to where I want to put these beers. And I think...
Are you debating on both beers as far as scores go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm having a hard time.
I'm waffling on A, and I think I have a solid score on B.
Okay, well then... Okay, I'm going to go 4 on A. I know that I feel good on that one. I'm going to go 4 on A.
I was between a 4 and a 5, and I think I'm going to agree with you and go 4.
Okay. Okay, we're on the same page on that one. I'm going to need you to lead on B.
B, I'm actually very... pleased with B. It tastes good. It has a journey. It's very interesting to me.
It is interesting. It's quite.
And, you know, it is new. There's not a lot of beers that taste like this.
I've not had a single other beer that tastes like this, to be honest.
I mean, honestly, it reminds me a little bit of an Oud Bruin I had from maybe the brewery.
Really?
Maybe. I mean, it's not like a, you know, not a face puckering Oud Bruin that you sometimes get, but you know, just kind of like mild. I'm gonna give B a 6.
Okay. I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of the Grapefruit Shandy by Traveler.
Okay.
The Traveler, which is a decent beer, like not a bad beer, but it is interesting. And like I said, it kind of tastes like very Shandy-esque because there's so much like actual juice aspect to it, which, you know, if you're making a beer, like a straight up beer with fruit and you're brewing it with the fruit, you're not going to get these kinds of flavors. This is where you're, you know, expressing the fruit and you're putting the juice in there. And maybe, probably even after all the fermentation has happened. So, or right before you're going to bottle. I don't know. But it's not bad. I think what I can do is I can give it a 4.
Okay.
I think it's on equal footing in its own way with A.
Okay.
Both good beers, solid beers. Everyone who listens to this knows if I give something a 4 on this show, that's pretty good. Because 3 is a beer that I'm like, I could drink that. So 4 is a step higher than that. So there you go. But B's the winner. Overall 5, and A has an overall 4.
Yeah, clear winner.
Yeah, mathematically. Yeah, pretty clear. Pretty clear. All right, so let me go ahead and reveal A. With an overall of 4, the loser of the episode, but still a good beer, A is... I have no idea what this is. It's a series of symbols. It's intergalactic hieroglyphics.
Is that like a zodiac or something?
No, it's like space with a bunch of alien signs. Actually, it's funny because it's called Zodiac.
Oh God!
I saw it on the back label. It's by Omnipollo. Wow, Omnipollo. I've had their Fata Morgana Imperial IPA. That's really good.
I'm not familiar with this brewery.
They're out of it's a gypsy brewer, but out of, I think, Belgium or something. Scandinavian, at the least.
Oh.
And this beer came out of Belgium. But this is an IPA brewed with wheat. So there's a wheat aspect and oats. So there's oats in there as well.
Oats. That is very interesting.
Yeah, 6.2% alcohol by volume.
Now, usually people associate oats with just kind of lending like body. And, you know, like a creamy body. Did you perceive something like that?
No.
But maybe oats is doing other things that I'm not thinking of. Maybe it's providing just, you know, complex sugars for the yeast.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's a good beer. I could continue to go on this. I'm going to guess that it's expensive, though. Because I know that Omnipollo beers are usually on the more expensive side. So I don't know if I'd pay for it again, but...
Trying to get on that IPA American market these guys are.
Still good, though. So, Omnipollo, your Zodiac. Not a bad beer. Pretty good. Thank you. And then the winner of the episode.
Oh, I'm excited.
Overall 5. I think Dan's going to need to go out and buy some of whatever this is.
Yeah, yes. Let's see what it is.
B is... Omnipollo as well.
Oh, my gosh.
it's an all Omnipollo.
Oh, my new favorite brewery, apparently.
This is an IPA. So the fact...
What?
Right? Okay. So the fact that we were picking up some hops behind the fruit is a good thing.
Yes.
Because, you know, then we don't look totally stupid. But it's by Omnipollo once again. It's called 421, as in the time of day. 421. It is a raspberry smoothie IPA.
Okay.
We did say raspberry. We got there.
What does it even mean to be a raspberry smoothie?
Well, I think the raspberry smoothie aspect probably means that they blended raspberries and then put it in.
What? Yeah, okay.
I don't know at what stage. This also is 6% alcohol by volume, so. Oh, the all Omnipollo episode. That's interesting, though. I mean, here's the good thing, too. I didn't say this was, like, the most outstanding beer in the world, B, but I still enjoyed it. And it challenged me, and it's something I'd never tasted before. I mean, I've never had a beer that tastes that way.
No, never.
So
I've never had
it's unique. It's interesting.
Think back what all the different styles we were kind of being reminded of: Shandy, Oud Bruin. It's an IPA. You know, there was probably like, you know, somewhere between 3 and 5 styles we thought were possibilities with
right.
this thing.
And drinking it now, knowing what it is, it still tastes like pink grapefruit to me. It still does. And that probably has to do with the high hop content
right.
that the raspberry juice is playing with. So it's really picking up the citric, the acids, the fruit acids from the raspberry, and taking with it the flavor of like a grapefruit hoppiness.
Right. And you know, it's so often with so often when you add fruit into beer, you know, the yeast just eats all the sugar, and so you're just left with, you know, the just the non-sweet parts of these fruits, which leaves you basically with the taste of an unripe, so like just think of an unripe raspberry, or like,
yeah, like real tart.
Yeah, just almost,
which are good too.
Almost green, like, yeah. You know, and I can see how you'd be reminded of grapefruit from that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I could still get it. I will, until I die with this beer, say it just tastes like pink grapefruit to me. But it's good. I mean, I'm almost done with it. I'm almost done with both these beers. They're both good beers, and they will be finished.
You know, I'm almost done with my glass, and it's still taking me on that little tongue journey. And
tongue journey, I love it. That can mean a lot of things, though.
Yeah.
So be careful when you use tongue journey.
Yeah.
And when you do a tongue journey, be careful.
I haven't been on a tongue journey in a while.
Very revealing, Dan. Well, we've run kind of long on this one, but stick around for next episode because Dan will be back once again, and we're going to have a fun warm-up beer.
Oh, I am excited.
Yeah, and you should be excited. So thanks, Dan, and thank you, everyone, for listening out there, and please remember to
keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.